stuff is sending skyward isn't going all the way. Just floating like a blanket underneath the wheel. And what will it be like when we are feeling the full effects of climate change? And as I speak, of course, the temperature hovers in the 80s in Chicago in this, the middle of March, just the second day officially of spring. So I think that's broken a few records. And D.R. Tucker was kind enough to tell me about a study that just came out from the National Wildlife Federation. D.R., why don't you introduce Carol for us? Carol Oldham, of course, is in your neck of the woods, Massachusetts area.
Yes, Carol Oldham is a member of the National Wildlife Federation, and she did call to my attention a brilliant new study about the psychological effects of climate change. So I just wanted to introduce you once again. She's been on the show before, but once again, it's great to have her back, Carol Oldham of National Wildlife Federation.
Thanks so much for having me.
And Carol, this study comes just in time with this weird weather we're having. And, of course, here in the, you know, Bay Area, Northern California, we just, as I joke, you know, but I guess kind of gloat maybe a little bit, the worst thing that happens here is we just get nicer weather. But the reality is I grew up here, and I have, we had 5 days of rain. That's not so unusual. We certainly needed that. But there were gale force winds, and it just howled for a couple of nights. And I don't recall in all the time I've lived here hearing wind quite that strong. And, you know, for those of us who are a little sensitive and paying close attention, it's a little chilling to think that, you know, we no longer can really count on the usual bounds of where the weather will go. And psychologically, that has quite an impact, you know, of course, in addition to all the destruction that we're seeing happen in, you know, tornadoes and twisters and extreme droughts and fires across the country.
Yeah, that's right. And it's about 80 degrees here in Boston today. And so the report is all about the psychological impacts of, like you said, drought, extreme heat, wildfires, flooding, violent weather, and whether the system, whether the healthcare system in the United States is prepared to deal with it or not.
Is it? She asked.
Not. I'm sorry to say it's not. The findings of the report, so basically the report is the findings and recommendations of a national forum that was held in 2009, and they found that the system is going to be overwhelmed. You know, there's everything from anxiety about from folks who've experienced extreme weather when they watch the Weather Channel or when they are waiting, you know, to see what the next storm is going to bring. There's also financial stress of people being put out of their houses or, you know, that sort of displacement. Violent crimes go up when and domestic violence goes up when the heat is extreme. And so we're going to have a lot of impacts that we're going to see unless we start doing something about it right now.
I see one of the findings is some 200 million Americans will be impacted with serious psychological distress resulting from all the climate-triggered accidents, incidents, and disasters. I guess we shouldn't call them accidents at this point. I don't know if we can call them an act of God. I think it's an act of man himself,
right,
ourselves. That's two-thirds of the country, and we're already stressed out as a nation for so many reasons,
right.
Overworked, underpaid, unemployed, and just life accelerating at such a rapid pace, technology. You throw climate change into the mix, and it's quite seriously pretty frightening.
Yeah, absolutely, and I think the young and the old are particularly susceptible. Like you said, the unemployed, the low income. I mean, you know, anybody who is 70 million people live within, what is it, a couple of miles of the coast, and we're going to see, you know, both increased tropical storms and increased flooding near the coast and droughts
and
in a lot of other places.
I was wondering, as the wind was howling, is there anyone out on the streets? You know, if we're going to see more homeless, more exposed to this weather, we'd like to think we can account for that and protect the weakest among us. But the way things are going, that could be a real concern.
Absolutely. And, of course, you know, we're having – every state is having budget issues, as well as the federal government having budget issues. And the programs for the vulnerable are always the ones that are cut first.
D.R.?
Yes, Carol, have any medical associations or psychological associations called attention to the need to take action to reduce emissions to avoid the worst of these medical effects?
Well, you know, that's interesting that you ask that, because that was one of the findings of the report. You know, this was a big gathering, like I said, that was held in 2009, and one of the things that all of the folks that were there agreed on is that the psychological community has found that global warming is happening, global warming is caused by human activity, and, you know, they said in the report, we need to be more active about educating the public about this and about educating the public about the impacts of this, because it's going to fall to us.
Why do you think they haven't been up to this point? Because, you know, from my perspective, I think the medical associations and the psychological associations could have a significant impact if they started pushing back against the political denial.
Yeah, I mean, I would say there are probably a couple of reasons, and one of them is that it's very controversial, and it's become politicized in a way that it shouldn't be. It's, you know, fact should not be politicized. Scientific fact should not be politicized, but unfortunately it has been, and so people shy away from that.
And Carol, what about the impact of, you know, I mean, let's face it, Americans are kind of short-sighted and sometimes simplistic and even, dare I say, superficial. You know, many people basking in 80-degree weather probably saying, Kim, no problem, you know, this is terrific. And there is that tendency to think that it's not so bad. We're enjoying this. And yet I have to think with more, again, more extreme weather with every passing week that, you know, any American who's tuned in must be concerned on some level, even if perhaps they don't voice it.
Well, I mean, polls have certainly shown that people's understanding about global warming goes way up when the weather is extreme. So, you know, I think
even
people recognize
even if it's warmer, otherwise it'd be cold.
I mean, everybody I've talked to over the last few days in Boston, I mean, like I said, it's 80 degrees here, and everybody that I've talked to has said, gosh, it's so beautiful and totally creepy.
That's what they hear too. I'm glad they're saying that there as well. A little too nice here. And isn't part of the problem, and this gets back to our favorite subject, and that's, you know, lack of leadership in both you know, Congress at the political level, but also in the media, impacting the public's view. It's like I've actually met people, intelligent, educated, informed people who say, well, if it was such a problem, seriously, we would hear more about it, wouldn't we? And no one's really talking about it on the news, as we just saw from last night's story about the weather with no mention of climate change. How important is that we're sort of allowed, almost given a pass, to not worry about it too much because we just don't really see it around us being discussed?
Yeah, I would say that's incredibly important. I mean, I think that it, you know, not only is it not being discussed sort of in the larger picture, one of the things that I find really frustrating is that Congress is sort of constantly trying to chip away at things. You know, Senator Inhofe is having, you know, is potentially going to put forth a Congressional Review Act to say that we shouldn't even put the mercury standard into place, which is, you know, it's A, very popular, and B, it's one of the great tools to decrease emissions out of coal plants. So, you know, it could make a really big difference in the problems that we're seeing. And, you know, we've got the KXL pipeline, the Keystone XL pipeline, and, you know, we just really need to start taking care of the problem and stop dilly-dallying and pretending like it's not happening. I think you're absolutely right.
And Inhofe embodies, you know, the real problem we're seeing there, which is why are they fighting so hard to, you know, get the Keystone and to protect the coal and fossil fuel industry? You know, what planet do they plan to live on, and don't they have children and grandchildren? But it's just gone on, you know, way too long and far and beyond anything that I ever would have predicted, you know, because they're saying these ridiculous things in the face of 99% of the world's climate scientists saying we have a problem, Houston.
Yeah, absolutely. And now the mental health community saying the same thing.
DR?
Yes, You mentioned, Betsy, the lack of leadership being involved, and I was thinking, you know, we've talked previously about the need for President Obama to do a speech about the need to take action to reduce emissions, and you'd think that one of the things he would say in that hypothetical speech is to make the link between these extreme weather events and the sort of psychological and physical damage that's being done. It's very interesting that this is occurring at around the same time that we're having there's just discussion about, you know, the health problems involved, you know, increased ozone and what have you. So I would ask Carol, you know, is that something that you would like to see President Obama do? Deliver a speech, a state of the climate address, if you will, and pinpoint the role that extreme weather events plays in, you know, affecting health, physical and psychological health.
Absolutely. I think that it would be great to see that from President Obama. I think it would be great to see that from the Senate, from the House. I mean, I would encourage everybody to call every elected representative that they have down to, town council or town meeting or, you know, whatever, up right up to the president and call the White House and say, we want to see more action on climate change because there are going to be myriad impacts and, you know, it's going to cost us an awful lot of money. I mean, that was one thing that this report, when I was sort of looking through it, when I got the draft, I thought, oh my God, imagine how much this is going to cost, because it's not just the direct healthcare costs, it's also the indirect costs like lost productivity and lost work days. And, you know, I mean, this is something that we need to see leadership. You're absolutely right. We need to see it from the White House. We need to see it from Congress.
I just got an idea. All the people who are playing hooky from work and school to enjoy the nice weather back east and in Chicago area, maybe they can take time out and make a cell call to their representatives and say,
that is a great idea. And actually, I can give you the Senate switchboard number, which
go
people
ahead.
Can call, and you can just say where you're from, and that phone number is 202-224-3121, and folks can call, just say which state you're from, they'll connect you to your senator's office.
And that really underscores a serious point, which is unless there's muscle, you know, behind this movement, unless our representatives really hear loudly and clearly that the population of America is concerned, even if just, you know, slowly, you know, increasingly getting more concerned about these issues, they're kind of afraid to stick their necks out, according to some of the reports I've heard.
It does look that way.
DR, that's a big problem because it's got to come from, you know, the grassroots level, and it's not, the dots are not being connected enough.
And then speaking of connecting the dots, I wanted to sort of tie this into our first subject involving the increase in sea level rise, and just to sort of highlight and just to sort of visualize the sort of damage it must do to people who live on those coasts and are seeing the erosion, or seeing, you know, if they live nearby the coasts and they've sunk all their money into, you know, building houses along the coastline, and then to have the sea level rise and this erosion just basically threaten their property. I mean, we talk about the psychological impact and the financial impact as well, and it raises the question of, you know, should people in the, and we know the insurance industry is taking action against this, but should realtors, how many more people need to sort of get their voices up about this issue?
Yeah, I mean, I think everybody who's in any sort of position to be impacted by this, which at this point just begins to be pretty much everyone, I think needs to speak out. We just need to hear more voices.
Hear, hear.
Everybody's responsibility.
One of the areas that your report covers that's going to be an increasing threat is new, you know, disease outbreaks and growth of, you know, ones that are currently taxing the medical system, like Lyme disease. I can't tell you how many people I know here in California. We're not in, you know, Lyme tick regions like, you know, Connecticut, where it used to be most common. Just almost every week I hear about someone else who's suffering from Lyme. Isn't that the exact kind of, you know, diseases like malaria that we're going to see more of as the ecosystem gets messed up?
Absolutely. I got a tick on me last weekend
when
I was hiking.
My husband was treated for it.
Yeah.
I used to think of this as primarily something that afflicts people, you know, outdoors back east. But it's happening here, you know, on ranches in California. We took a hike, and my husband was bitten and luckily treated quickly and hopefully no long-term effects. But, you know, it's really, I won't say rampant, that's too strong, but it's definitely increasing. Because, again, I grew up here, and I never heard of this, you know, prior to 5 years ago.
Yeah, and I think you're right, too, about the malaria issue, because mosquitoes are living year-round in places where they were, you know, previously killed by frost because of the temperature changes.
West Nile virus was a concern. So these are things people probably don't necessarily automatically think of when they think of climate change. Mostly it's, you know, okay, a few degrees different temperature. And I guess really the problem, we've been talking around it, but Americans are just woefully uninformed about this. Not to blame, you know, the citizenry, although sometimes I think we are a bit too complacent as a country. I'm sure you won't disagree with that. But there just is a lack of I'm not, when I say education, I'm not talking about what, you know, elementary and high school kids are learning, because they're learning it. And as mm-hmm. I say, by the time they're, you know, voting age even, they're going to know all too well, all too painfully that it's real and it's here. But just at the institution level, at the community level, media certainly, it's just not something that is being reflected in terms of the urgency that all these reports would seem to indicate is needed.
Right, and I think that gets back to the you know, what I mentioned about it, it's become this political issue when it's actually, it's a fact. It's happening. You know, we're already suffering droughts and heat waves and you know, extreme weather impacts, and we need to start dealing with it rather than playing politics with it.
Yeah, and we're wasting precious time.
Carol, I wanted to get your take on the whole controversy that we've talked about previously about the Heartland Institute and its efforts to sort of smuggle climate denial into the public schools and to sort of convince impressionable kids that science isn't science. Could that be considered a form of psychological damage being done to children?
Well, I mean, I think that there's going to come that kind of cognitive dissonance when you start seeing it around you and yet you're being taught that it's not happening. Because I think that's going to be an issue for kids.
That's a good term, cognitive dissonance. There's so much of that around this climate issue, isn't there?
Yes, there is. Yeah.
I mean, looking at national, you know, television and watching again these, you know, I got nothing against Republicans. We had the Republicans for Environmental Progress is it John Perkins? I'm trying to remember his name on a couple of weeks ago. You know, there are Republicans, good Republicans, who certainly are, you know, just as frustrated as many of us are. But it's the leadership that's just messed up, and the Tea Partiers and those in Congress who are unfortunately passing our legislation and want to be, you know, in the highest office of the land, inhabit the White House, and they're just refusing to see what they, I don't know, Carol, you worked on the study. Do you think even they, I mean, Romney, and next week, by the way, we're going to play a video clip that has almost all the candidates talking about the climate change is real, you know, just a few years ago. So they've clearly done a flip-flop, and I think it's really worth taking the time to point that right back in their faces and say, you want to be, you know, president, and you are denying your own words?
Mm-hmm.
What's up with that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you just have something you know and then you don't know. So I just think that's just the, you know, it's almost laughable, but it's not funny.
Right. Yeah, it definitely ends up not being funny when we're sort of letting the world go down the tubes.
Yeah, you kind of sum it up right there, Carol. Thank you for that. So closing thoughts, we just have a couple minutes left.
I would, again, just encourage people, you know, call your elected representatives and tell them that this is something that's important to you, and, you know, talk to people that you know who are climate deniers, and just, you know, point out that days like today in the Northeast, or like you said, in the Midwest, are just, it's not normal. It's not the way it should be, and we need to start taking care of this problem sooner.
Sometimes I wish that we could hear the critters screaming at us, you know. I mean, even when the cherry blossoms came out a little bit too early, and, you know, this is this web of life, the ecosystem that we can't see, what's beneath the ocean surface and, you know, in the mountains and the trees and, you know, the ground and the insects, and the whole, you know, entire ecosystem is, you know, literally, as we speak, you know, getting confused. I mean, that's sort of a simplistic way to put it. But if they had a voice, if they had a vote, all those, you know, the habitats and animals and insects that are, you know, being threatened.
Yeah, and it's our job to speak for them, so we really should sit up and pay attention.
It's not just polar bears and penguins endangered.
Right, absolutely.
And we're right up there with them, so we're the only species that can do something about it, so let's hope we do. And soon.
Absolutely.
That does it. D.R., thanks for joining me today. I really appreciate your input, as always. D.R. Tucker is quite the blogger, and if you listen to the show, you know he's a regular guest. And for those who don't know, I met D.R. about a year ago when I was on the Hannity show and mentioned D.R. had just written a column about his own conversion to believing climate change. What did he do to become a convert? Well, he read the science, read the IPCC report, and I bet you not one of those presidential candidates has taken the time to do that, so shame on them. You can't not know it once you read the science. And hey, since when shouldn't we believe the experts in their field, climate scientists? That does it for this edition. Carol Oldham with National Wildlife Federation, I should say one of my favorite environmental organizations. Thank you so much for joining us and for all your great work there. And say hello to Larry Schweiger.
Will do, and thanks for having me on.
That does it for this edition of The Green Front. Next week, we're going to play you this incredible videotape. It's a compilation of all the current Republican candidates talking about how climate change is a big problem. You heard it here first. You'll hear it next week on The Green Front. Have a great green one.